Good morning. My name is Elsa, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the CanCare 2.0 implementation conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. Thank you. Ms. Becky Ross, you may begin your conference.
Thank you, Elsa. Good morning, everyone. Thanks for joining us on this call. Just a reminder, we only have one more call scheduled for next Thursday at the same time. You can find the recordings and the transcripts of all the calls on the CanCare website. With that, I'm going to turn it over to our MCOs to give you updates from each of them, and we'll start with Sunflower.
Good morning. This is Michelle Buller from Sunflower, and nothing new to report related to 2.0 implementation. Just want to remind everyone to review the CR logs for any ongoing issues related to that we update weekly, but nothing new to report specifically related to the 2.0.
Thank you. And next, we'll turn it over to Aetna for their update.
Good morning. This is Kim Glenn with Aetna, and we've got two updates today, and one is around credentialing. We know that we still had a few providers that needed to go through credentialing. Over the past couple of weeks, we have had a major push, so we are close to getting our credentialing backlog out the door, and so there will be more welcome packets and things like that going out over the next few weeks. And then I'm going to have Lisa Castillo, our manager of provider relations, give an update related to the ERAs and the EFT issues that we've been having. And outside of that, again, all of our issues are out there on the CR log and being updated on a regular basis. So I'm going to turn it over to Lisa now.
Our vendor for ERAs and EFTs, Change Healthcare, has resolved their issues. If you have a clearinghouse, everything should be going good. Any of the ones that did not have a clearinghouse and using Payment Manager, that was resolved, and they're in the process of reworking those forms and getting them enrolled. If you have any questions or issues, please contact your provider liaison that can work with you on that.
Okay, and that's it for Aetna. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Now I'll turn it over to United.
Hi, good morning. This is Carrie Kimes with United Healthcare. Just no new implementation-related issues to report. Day-to-day operation issues or things we like to communicate out to providers would be on the CanCare claims resolution log, similar to the other MCOs reporting that. I do want to just do my normal reminder that our all MCO trainings that we do as a combined effort start next week. So we will be out in Hays on Tuesday the 23rd, then in Wichita on Wednesday the 24th, and then the following week on May 1st, we will be in Olathe. So if you have not had a chance to go out to the KMAP website and look at the invitation that gives you information about the sessions or to register for those under the workshop schedule on the KMAP website, we strongly encourage that you take a look. And if your schedule allows, please come and join us at one of those sessions. And that's all we have today, Becky.
Thanks, Gary. Now I'll turn it over to Candace Cobb with First Data.
Good morning, everyone. This is Candace Cobb with First Data. Everything is running smoothly as far as reports are this morning, so if there's something else you need to contact us about, please do so at the help desk, 1-800-441-4667. That is 1-800-441-4667. Or you can email the help desk at authenticare.support@firstdata.com. authenticare.support@firstdata.com. If you have any questions for me or if you are not on our Flash communication list, please email me at candace.cobb@firstdata.com. And that's Candace with two A's, candace.cobb@firstdata.com. Thanks, and have a great day.
Thanks, Candace.
You're welcome.
Oh, Elsa, I think we're ready to open up the line for questions.
Thank you. As a reminder, to ask a question at this time, please press star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. That's star 1 to ask a question. We'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. And caller, state your name and ask your question. And your line is open. Please ask your question. We are going to proceed with the next participant. And caller, please state your name and ask your question.
This is Belinda from the Hutchinson Clinic. We've had a problem with getting one of our providers credentialed. The other over 100 have been credentialed by Aetna, but this one we've been going around and around since the first of the year. And the last, we're having problems getting hold of someone and getting an answer. And the last thing we were told, it was going to be credentialed in the next call. He was termed. So could I please have someone give me a call about that?
Yes, and I apologize. Could I get your name again?
Yes, it's Belinda Mahoney.
Okay.
From the Hutchinson Clinic.
Okay, and your number, Belinda, and we will have somebody reach out to you today.
Okay, it's 620-669-2644.
And could you give me that particular physician's name so we can maybe
yes.
get ahead of that before we call you back?
Yes, it's Jeremiah Kemke. That's K-E-M-P-K-E.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. I also have another question, if I can ask it.
Oh, of course.
Okay. I called last week about getting a contact for Skygen, and I did get a couple of calls back from Aetna. And an email with the information provided to get on the portal. And I was able to do that, but I cannot get a copy of the contract. Is there someone in contracts at Skygen that I could speak to directly or email directly?
Yes, Belinda. I will make sure that we get that to you on who to talk to specifically. I've got that name and number. And I will give that to our manager of PR, and she can give you that information when we call you back related to Dr. Kemke.
Okay, thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
And your next question comes from the line of Tish Hollingsworth.
Good morning. This question is for Aetna, and I think, Lisa, was that you that talked about the ERAs and EFTs?
Yes.
Okay. So just last week I spoke with Mike and Scott about several of our hospitals that didn't have EFT set up now. So my understanding that you have reached out to those individual hospitals and gotten their issues resolved as well?
Tish, this is Mike. I do know that she's worked with Stormont Vail. And I don't have my notes in front of me. That's the only specific ones that I recall. I know we discussed, you know, that information being available at the all MCO meetings, that if, you know, people were having any kind of issues that they could get with their liaison there, and that you know, they do have to go in and enroll for those services.
Okay. Mike, maybe you can look at the email that I sent last week. I think there were a couple of other hospitals. I just want to make sure that we are reaching out to the ones that I know that have expressed concerns with the ERA. So.
Yeah, I do have that email, Tish. And so I'll make sure that somebody connects with
okay.
them.
Okay, thank you.
Uh-huh.
And your next question is from the line of Gail Herdom.
Three
Gail,
items today.
Okay.
Hello?
Yep, we can hear you, Gail.
Okay. I've got three items here today. The first is probably for all MCOs, although I'm starting to get issues with Aetna payments. For AuthentiCare through the personal care support systems, we're getting denials for duplicates, and with the personal care services, oftentimes us as providers have late time come in, or we're having to hold payment to the personal attendants because of paperwork and that sort of thing. So in my estimation, personal care services shouldn't ever hit a duplicate, and duplicate denials just we need to address that issue overall, because we have to then turn around and go in and submit corrected claims to get this all paid up. And I don't know whether this is a point of discussion for personal care services, but through the AuthentiCare system, I mean, people are allowed to have multiple assistants during a particular day, so duplicate services shouldn't be hitting and denying for that service.
So, Gail, this is Becky. I just want to be clear I understand the issue here. So you're seeing denials for claims that were not necessarily the same time of day or
when it hits, Becky, it's because, for example, we have individuals occasionally that, you know, the claims have either been held or there was late time submitted, and it's a different month. Like, we just billed March, but we had some February claims that released out of AuthentiCare in March. But then those February claims, if that particular date had been paid the previous month, then it's hitting as a duplicate and denying payment. So I guess my question is, can we lift these edits for personal care services? I mean, you know, I understand duplicate dates of service and not wanting to pay it, but in the AuthentiCare system, that's kind of a whole different ballgame.
So, Gail, this is Scott Bruner with that, and just to make sure I understand the issues. So it's the care attendant was there from 9 to 11 one day in February. That claim was paid in February, but then there was maybe some holdup in their afternoon session where they were there from 2 to 4. That doesn't process until March, and so it's being denied as a duplicate on that for that date in February, but it's a different time of day that that worker was there. Is that close to the scenario?
That is correct, and it could, and it's more than likely as a different worker that got held up.
On the same day.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So that is correct. That's exactly what I'm trying to get across. So, and I'm assuming with Aetna that we can still correct claims in availability. Didn't I hear that on a previous phone call?
Yeah. You should be able to, Gail.
Okay. And then I have a group of claims with Aetna, that is, the provider rep Angela went through all of our claims that are supposed to have been paid, and I have about a dozen claims that are stating that they've been paid. They have claim numbers, and this is for OCCK, but there's been no payment. I can see no remittance advice out on the website on Aetna for this about a dozen claims, and it's about $11,000. So I don't understand why they're stating they're paid, but we've not, not received payment, and number two, I can't see an RA. I can't, and I did email this list to Angela last week, but I haven't heard anything back.
Yeah, this
so I didn't know.
I'll follow up with Angela, and I'll make sure we get an answer to you.
Yeah, okay. And then the elephant in the room is, can we have an update from Aetna as to when client obligations are actually going to start processing correctly?
That is on our the CR log, and we do have that fix in place, and we are this week still working on running the claims report, Gail, to make the adjustments, but we'll also have that in detail when Lisa or Angela gives you a call back today. But the fix is in place, and we will continue to work to make sure that current day claims are processing correctly. We've been doing a lot of testing, and then we have a status at the end of the week here on the claims report.
Okay, and then as far as going back and recouping the client obligations, I think myself and other providers have indicated that this actually needs to be done per the person that the client obligation was not deducted from. I mean, we need to see a clear paper trail when these recoupments start coming through as to for each individual. And I'm assuming you're working on that issue as well.
That is correct, because we will adjust the actual claim. We just don't
okay.
go in and say, okay, it's, you know, $10,000 and take that off of any payment. We actually go in and reprocess that claim, and it's on that number, and then you will see that on the remittance advice.
Okay. And that's all I have today. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
And your next question comes from the line of Ruth Cornwell.
Hi, good morning. My question is for Aetna. I have a couple. We continue to hear from our members who don't know their status on the credentialing piece. Many of them have indicated they've sent their credentialing in back in November and yet to receive anything. Some have indicated that maybe they've heard on two or three of their providers, but maybe not the entire group. Can you speak to, please, and give an idea as to the numbers, what kind of numbers we're talking about when you said that you still have a few providers to credential?
Okay. Ruth, this is Kim Glenn, and as we indicated, we had a major push over the past couple of weeks. I mean, our physicians are well up over, you know, we average, and they're broken out by specialty. Everybody's over 90% in those buckets that have been credentialed over the past couple of weeks. We saw that in our report that goes to the state this week. And, you know, we are working on how we put the rosters with the welcome packets. And, you know, any particular providers, if you want to send us names or we can reach out. I mean, we've seen that major push over the past couple of weeks, so folks should start. If they did not get their welcome packet previously, and as we've been moving things, you know, every week, if daily through credentialing, there is a big push that happened over the past couple of weeks.
That's great to
hear. And I don't have the exact provider count, but I can tell you as we track the percentages, like I said, we are well over 90% in every category for physicians.
That's good to hear. I'm just concerned because I know of one practice, only one that I've talked to, and I've talked to hundreds, who have received a welcome packet. And my understanding from the welcome packet was that you guys were going to go back and make some changes to the timely filing piece that was in there, as well as there was not a list of the providers as to who that welcome packet was intended for. Will that be something that you can see in the new in these most recent releases?
Well, when we found the error in the timely filing, the welcome packets were updated to change the 120 to the 180, and we are working on how to most expeditiously pull a roster when we send the welcome packet. So that is something that is in the works, and Mike can keep you updated. Hopefully we'll have an answer again on your weekly meeting with Mike and Scott, but we are working on getting that resolved so everybody knows in their practice that everybody came through credentialing.
Has there been any discussion about extending the transition of care to the end of May?
I do not have any update at this time related to extension of transition of care.
Thank you.
And again, to ask a question, please press star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. And your next question comes from the line of Barb Zimmerman.
Hi. Yes, I have several questions this morning. I'll start with Aetna. We recently had a consumer tell us that they had just had their meeting with the care coordinator and that they were increasing their units on their plan of care, their ISP, but they were going to make it retroactive. We are an FMS provider, and we cannot have a retroactive authorizations. If the person didn't clock in for time, we can't have them just submit us time to make up these additional units, and that's what they're thinking is going to happen. So I just need to make sure that there's not ISPs being written that are for months that have already passed.
And this is Kim Glenn. First of all, can we get your name and who you're with again? I apologize.
Yeah, it's Barb, and I'm with Helpers, Inc.
Okay. Hey, Barb. We're all sitting here in the room agreeing there should be no retro changes to those authorizations. So I do know that you're actively talking with both Jennifer Parente and Stephanie Gramlich. So we'd like that specific example so that we can close the loop there on those. But yeah, we all are in agreement with you that no retroactivity there.
Okay. I'll find the name of that consumer and send that to them.
Okay, thank you.
Uh-huh. And then we had submitted a couple EMS 1500s to void a couple of claims that were billed in error, and they're being processed, and they're denying as duplicate instead of void. We use the number 8 code on the CMS 1500 as indicated for a void, so that took 30 days or longer to do that, and now it's not being voided, so I'm not sure what the next step is to get those claims voided.
Barb, this is Lisa. I'll give you a call after this so I can get those examples, and then I'll work on that for you.
Okay. And then I have a question in regards to the ERA. I got a note saying that we had been set up with Aetna and that if we hadn't requested our claim payment remittance be delivered via ERA, that we were to contact the provider experience department, which I did, and we were set up correctly. But I'm questioning, where are these ERAs being delivered to? Do they go directly to Change Healthcare?
Yes, because you don't have a clearinghouse, so you would need to get it from Change Healthcare, and we can work with you on that.
Okay, so we need to set up a clearinghouse through Change Healthcare.
Yeah.
Okay, because they're asking what system that Change Healthcare is going to receive those ERAs through. They're asking me if it's going to be on the Claims and Denial Advisor or the AccessMBeyond.com.
And we'll give you a call after this, and
okay,
we can walk you through it, Barb.
All right, that'll be great. All right, and then my last concern is for Sunflower. We've been working on clearing up some old issues, missing ISPs and such for the months of February and March. I know you have a lot of new members and a lot going on, but we now have 60 current issues for April. It seems like they're being sent to the off team, but we've sent them two or three times for a couple weeks, and nothing's getting resolved. So I'm wondering if we could get some help getting those issues resolved.
Barb, this is Michelle Bowler. I will take that back and see what is going on with those different requests from you, and I will be in touch with you.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
And your next question comes from the line of Colette Sandquist.
Good morning. I have a question, actually two questions for Aetna. One has to do with the credentialing. I have been trying to get a new provider credentialed since February, and I keep getting hung up with the lady that's processing it. Her name is Adriana Trujillo. She doesn't want to send my packet through or credentialing through because I didn't answer two questions dealing with the Native Indians or the Native Alaskans. I had heard at one point I didn't have to answer those two questions. We do see those patients, but we're not contracting like with Indian Health Services or the Native Alaskan program. So I didn't know why that would hold up a contract when no other MCO asked that question, let alone regular Medicaid. And the other question I have is regarding our, we're getting our automatic deposits, and then I go out to the Aetna Kansas Better Health and get our remits out there, but I have to plug in and find a physician that actually has a claim on that remit. Emily had told me she would try and figure out why we can't get it to come up under Maori Clinic. I haven't heard anything from her for over a month, and we have not received one welcome letter, and I have 28 physicians. So I just need some guidance on the new physician and when are we going to be able to pull up our remittance advice by Maori Clinic instead of individual providers.
Colette, this is Lisa. I will get with you after the call.
Okay.
Could we get your number again, Colette?
785-822-0202.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And your next question comes from the line of Kathy Anderson.
Yes, this is Kathy.
Go ahead, Kathy.
Okay. I talked to Lisa this morning. She actually called to see if we got our credentialing letter. So I was just going to call in and tell her that I did, and I printed them off, and they say Skygen at the top. We're an ophthalmology practice, and the letter comes from Scion Dental Credentialing Committee, and it says that we are recredentialed. We will contact you for recredentialing in the Scion Dental Network, and it's signed by the Chief Dental Officer. I'm not sure that this is what the letter that we were intended. It's made out to our two physicians here, but like I said, we're an ophthalmology practice, and we were looking for a welcome letter, and this one comes from Scion Dental Credentialing.
Yeah, it's Skygen is our dental and vision, but that is your welcome letter. This is Lisa, sorry, Kathy.
Okay.
That's your approval letter for both your providers.
And Skygen is the new name for Scion, and they may not have got, we'll follow up with them, but Scion was purchased by Skygen, and they may still be in the process of getting some things updated, but we'll follow up on that because we do agree that's confusing when we know the new vendor name is Skygen.
Well, the letterhead on the letter says Skygen USA, but the letter is clearly from Scion Dental Credentialing Committee is what it says. It says they reviewed us on April the 10th. So, and it's signed by a dental officer.
All right. We will follow back up with them. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
And again, to ask a question, please press star then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. And your next question comes from the line of Ruth Cornwall.
Hi, me again. To follow up on Colette's question about credentialing,
That administrative form that Aetna was initially asking providers to fill out, we approached the state with concerns about that. The other two MCOs haven't been requesting that information yet. And we understood from the state that providers did not have to fill that form out at this time, that this is something that the provider reps could obtain when they're out doing their practice visits. Is that the understanding?
Yes, Ruth, you are correct. We suspended using that supplemental provider form months ago. We will follow back up. It may just be an issue with this particular cred analyst, but we've got that as a follow-up because we did agree that we could pick that up during office visits to get that additional information that, you know, we need for directory purposes and that. So we will circle back around specifically related to the one employee that Maori Clinic identified.
Great. That'd be great. I have another question. You kind of led into it there with the provider directory. Once the provider has completed contracting and credentialing, can we expect to see them in the online provider directory?
You should, and that is the right process. We know that there are a couple of glitches that we are trying to figure out, especially with a couple of key hospitals that we know are in your service area. So we continue to push a few things up the ladder to make sure that that gets corrected. But yes, a provider, once they go into our claims payment system, should appear on the online directory.
Thank you.
And again, star one to ask a question. And there are no further questions at this time.
All right. Thank you all for participating in the call, and remember that we have one more scheduled for next Thursday at the same time. Thank you for joining us.
And this concludes today's conference. You may now disconnect.